Dude, I'm so stoned. I'm like dizzy, like a little. Like this doesn't happen very often that I get so stoned that I'm like, I get a little dizzy.
Yeah,
that happened when I was hiking this weekend. I got stoned right before I got out the truck, and then quarter of a mile into the hike, really cool area, I'm like, oh shit, I'm fucking dizzy. Like I might fall off this elevated boardwalk into the water. So it's like I'm so high that I'm just focusing on like step, 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 step. And then that happens for about 2 minutes. And then you're like, ooh, look at the pretty water lilies. Let's take pictures of water lilies.
So what we want to know is who's got the
My daughter now strangely never has homework unless it's some kind of project.
Yeah, a lot of schools I find are going to that.
Which I actually, that's a weird thing with me. Like, I want to run for school board and abolish homework, like in my district. It's a bad precedent for life. It's teaching unhealthy boundaries of like work-life balance, because school is a child's job. And if you went to school 40 hours a week, I mean, most of us do, you know, for a long time, work for 40 hours a week and also be on, you know, always on or always dealing with shit or whatever, doing homework.
Yeah.
We're conditioning kids.
A lot of them now will
get ready for the work.
They only have homework if they don't finish all their work in class or something.
Right, right.
But other than that, they won't have any.
Yeah.
Dude, I enjoyed that the Premier League show today.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, it's fun, and then it's like it was kind of funny, like Ben just being so wrong.
Classic
Ben. He's got like amazing takes and points. He's
young and inexperienced, you know, like we've got scars going.
But he also says some really wise shit. Is the point of like when he told that story in my podcast about how he came to be in the Arsenal season tickets. Mm-hmm. You know, he and his buddy put their fucking birthday money together.
Yeah,
when they were like 12, and I was like, they let you get on the list. He's like, yeah, we got on the list at 12. I was like, England is awesome.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome.
You know, it was like the Drew Brees retirement or Drew Brees last game. We're all shitting on Drew Brees. He said something like it was probably one of the best shit I've heard about Drew Brees. You know, and he's like, Drew Brees led me to podcasting. I was this young English kid. I saw the Saints play in London. And Drew Brees, and you know, because of Drew Brees, I'm a Saints fan. Because of Drew Brees, I have friends. You know, I've met people. Blah, blah, blah. It was awesome. But he thought that this shit was gonna hold together I was like, dude, I just checked. I was on the shitter on my phone, and like, there's two Premier League teams already trying to get out of this shit, and it's
it hadn't been
72 hours. That's not a that one ain't gonna stick.
No, it's man, that's wild. That's just it's so wild. Now it's like nope, sorry, yeah.
Our bad.
It's like our
everybody's,
bad.
And everybody's like, your first reaction is to be all relieved, and then you're like, hey, you shits, y'all shouldn't have done that in the first place. Mm-hmm. Bring us to the fucking ledge like that. It would have fucked everything up so bad. Yeah. Like it would have been really bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know how all these owners made this decision. I mean, they like, that's just, bro, you get people in a room and you put one fucking crazy, you know, inspiring, driven, fucking hard person, they all will follow it. Mm-hmm. They had 12 fucking owners go, okay. And it was such a bad idea that the world rejected it. I mean, everyone rejected it.
Yeah, everybody. Nobody said like, yep, that's a good idea. You know, it's funny that, you know, you mentioned that. And so I started a new show today. I've been meaning to start. I had it on my list. Halt and Catch Fire.
What's that on?
So it was on AMC. It's over. It ran for 4 seasons.
I watched it. That was a good show.
Now it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So it's got the
early like, days of computers. Right,
like the 1980s and building computers and shit like that. Oh, okay. And the lead character is the guy who played Ronan from Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Which if I watched, you didn't know it, like, you wouldn't even recognize him as Ronan.
Yeah, I watched the first episode today, and it's just like the conviction of this guy to be like, this is what we're doing.
And you will check that out. I will definitely check that out. Dude, that NBA on TNT show on HBO Max, the 4-part documentary. Yeah. If nothing else, just watch the Barkley episode and prepare to laugh.
I remember because they ran it, like they ran it on, I get probably on like TNT or something.
Oh, there's All-Star Weekend or some shit.
Yeah. It was like a month ago. And I ended up catching like bits and pieces of it here and there, but I'm definitely going to watch that.
There's a show I've been watching called Debris. It's on, I don't know, CBS or ABC, one of those, or NBC, I don't know. And it's actually pretty good. It's kind of reminds me of, you ever watch Fringe?
No, but I think I'm a little bit familiar with how it works.
Yeah, well, like, this is, Debris is a, they had some kind of alien, I don't know if it was a spaceship or a satellite or something, but it like exploded in space, and the debris of it has fallen to Earth.
Shit, and that's cool.
And people are finding different pieces of it, and as they find different pieces of it, it does different things like to different people. Hmm. Like this, and then so like the British and American government are working together to recover it, the debris, because it has all this alien technology that they're trying to figure out and figure out how to use, basically, I guess, to weaponize it. But it's a pretty cool show. So like they're doing experiments on people. Like this one girl, they took the debris and like put it on the back of her neck, like under her skin, and she can become invisible.
Huh.
It's like weird shit. They had one where it was, they could take old people and make them young again. And then, but you had to stay within the radius of the piece of debris. But the more the people they did it to, the radius got bigger and bigger. So they kept trying to find all these old people to change and make young so they could make the radius bigger. It's called, have you seen Debris at all, Jason?
I did watch the first episode. I DVR'd the second episode, but I was like, I watched the first one. I think I watched the second one. I was like, nah, like I hopped out. It sucks because any show, you got to give it at least one season before you make a realistic decision whether to stay or go. But yeah,
I've been watching. It's pretty good. It reminds me kind of, I was telling Gunna, kind of Fringe. A little bit.
Okay. That's when I want to start watching. So on Lost, I'm halfway through season 5 of my Lost rewatch, and it's been as great. I mean, I've loved I've loved going back because I haven't watched it in over a decade. So it's been nice to go back and watch it. But once that's done, I definitely want to get back to watching Fringe because I love Fringe.
Yeah, I want to watch when it was on. I liked Fringe too. I think it's on IMDb. I want to say it's on something. I saw
sure,
it's on
yeah, some I'm sure service. It's on something, but that's I'm definitely gonna go back and watch that.
Wouldn't
too.
Mind watching that again.
Yeah, it was good. I loved it.
And Adora's kind of hot too. So
yeah, she's definitely hot. So I'm definitely gonna have. I know this is kind of like a random episode. I'm gonna talk a little bit about the Pelicans because I'm just fucking pissed off.
I didn't watch them tonight.
They lost tonight, huh? Yeah, they lost at some point. Like I had it on, I turned it off. But the fact that a guy like me will routinely just be like, "Nope, they're done. I'm turning it off." Like that's bad. I hate watching them. It's just it's frustrating, and I don't want to because I just find myself getting angry, and I don't want to do that.
So, and I you've watched them more than I have this year. But I heard, I don't know if you, I think it was Moscona yesterday was talking about, or the day before, was talking about how he basically brought Van Gundy in to make the team better, especially defensively, but they're still not good defensively.
No, they suck. And, they're dumb.
And so he was saying that it almost seemed like that some in the locker room basically weren't buying into or weren't listening to Van Gundy because he's had success doing it everywhere. He's gone, but he gets here and he can't.
Except for Detroit. He had success in Miami, in Orlando, and then he went to Detroit and he sucked, but he was also the GM. So it was more him GM making it work. But
basically he was saying, look, it almost seems like there's something in the locker room where some of the players aren't buying in. And so you either have to get rid of those players and weed them out or get rid of the coach, one or the other. And he thinks the getting rid of the players is the way to go or weeding out who's not buying into it. I haven't watched a lot of them because we haven't been able to get much games up here, but on Twitter, I see Blitzo getting ripped apart like every game, like he's garbage.
I mean, I love to text. Like, we have a group chat with Courtney, and he works for him. And, you know, look, this is my 14th year of being a season ticket holder, and I'm usually pretty critical. And he's like, no, look, you know, obviously being the team salesman, right. a lot of times they did something I didn't care for. And he's like, no, well, this and this. And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a chance. And it failed. So, like, just everything so far has failed. So, at this point, after watching him enough, right, it definitely is, right, it's either Van Gundy or it's a handful of players that aren't getting it done. But it's something, and I'm tired of watching this, no matter whose fault it is. I mean, it's been like this forever. Like, I didn't like the Gentry hire, and Courtney's like, well, no, but he did this, and he did this. I'm like, okay, I'll give it a chance. And it didn't work. Same thing like Dell Demps. You know, he's like, I don't know, man. Some moves are good, some moves are shit, and he always – you know, like he's always more on the positive side, and I get it. But this is now year 14, and we have Zion and Ingram. And when we hired Van Gundy, I was like, I didn't want a retread. That's the one thing I didn't want, because that's what Gentry was, and it failed. Like I didn't want that. I'm tired of them making the wrong decision, because it seems like everything that happens, no matter if it was the old Hornets regime after Chris Paul, when Benson was alive and the owner, it was terrible. I put a lot of that on Benson. And now Gale, it's like I feel like they have a good plan in place, but they still can't execute said plan. And I've joked to Courtney, I've said it before, and I think this franchise is just cursed.
They have so much. They have an ungodly amount of between the young talent and the draft capital that they have. It's insane. Like if you were going to play a franchise on like the video game, you're going to play a dynasty and play like several. And let's say you lived in Abu Dhabi, you'd still be like, I'm going to use the Pelicans because they've got the best young player to ever, you know, in 20 years. They've got this, they've got that, they've got this many first round draft picks, they've got this many first round draft picks, they've got, dude.
I have a shitty coach. That if they waste Zion, like, I'm done. Like,
oh no, look, I've said that. Like, what? Yeah, look, I'm gonna stick it out. I'm gonna renew. Like, I renewed for next year. I'm gonna stick it out with whatever Zion does. I'm in. If this fails, then I am out. You know, for it's gonna take a lot to get me back. Like, I would finally be out.
You waste CP3. You waste AD. You know, you do this.
I mean, we've been blessed. And we've been blessed. We got Chris Paul at the fourth pick, which is crazy that he lasted the four, but we got him, and we're good for a while. We were a poor franchise, and we made some bad personnel decisions, draft decisions. But so I'm like, all right, we screwed that up. But, oh, you get Anthony Davis. You get the number one pick, and there's only a handful of years where the number one pick is a transcendent, like a truly transcendent player like this. We got it with Davis and Zion. Like, we've had our opportunities. If we can't make this work, I mean, that's.
And then he kind of threw some fuel on the fire when he was talking about New York.
You know what? I mean, like, every player says they love
that. I always say it.
The one thing that brings up, like we talked about on our conspiracy episode, the NBA national media is just, it's so bad. It's so bad. All they do is drive the conversation to here, and the rest of the league is like, oh, sorry, fuck you. It's not good for the league as a whole. That's why, like, to me, there's a ceiling on how big the NBA can ever get, because that's how they kind of, you know, all these other, you know, you got 10 other small market franchises, we're just like, they just piss on you all the time. Like, you can't, you know, you need a full league, you know, you need your entire league to buy in. And look, if we didn't have Zion and we were Minnesota with nobody, you know, with Ingram and whatever.
Do you think that's why the NFL succeeds more than a lot of the other leagues, is because there's more parity in the league where they have the salary cap, and you don't, a small market team can still compete. Whereas, you know, like with baseball, you know, you do have small market teams that can compete, but
every once in a while, but it's not sustained. Yeah, they can't sustain.
Right. It's not sustained. And then basketball, you know, you've gotten to the point where you have these mega teams where all the superstars are going to one place and teaming up. Whereas football seems to kind of have it worked out where every team is built to go 8-8. It just depends on how they spend their money as opposed to see what they can do with it that can possibly put them over the edge, because they're all working under the same rules as far as salary cap goes.
I mean, some of that is design of, well, football is just different. You only have
50 players versus
games.
12.
Right.
16 games versus 82.
Well, do you think that other leagues could come up with some kind of structure, I guess, to make it more of a parity league where everybody has a chance? And if so, would you want them to even do that?
But it seems like the NBA doesn't care. If you look over the history of the NBA, there's only a handful of franchises that have won a majority of the championships. That's just kind of the way the NBA has gone. And it also, with only five starters at a time, it's easier. You get the one, two giant players. It's a huge advantage.
And it's set up to where, Jason, you can have like three max contracts in your cap. Like, that's doable, right? I mean, that's basically the magic number. So you get three. You get a triumvirate of badassery, you know, full allotment. You pay them as much as you can, or if you can do a sign and trade or get them, as, you know, whatever, and they all, their salaries fluctuate based on their caps, based on years in the league, even on the high end. You get your three badasses, and then, okay, you got nine more seats to fill. Well, you got two more starting positions to fill. You know, you've literally got three or four more roles to fill, and now you've got a champion. So, and Griffin did it before. I liked that they went and got Griffin, you know, to be the GM. And I like they went and got Trajan Langdon. And I like just like in a lot of sports, like the Saints didn't get good until we got the right fucking right front office people.
Yeah. And
that's
the
root of it.
You're right. But the key is, you know, we got these two. And like, I think they're better. He's made these moves, he's accumulated the draft picks. He's better than you know, Dell Demps, sure, 100% he's better than Dell Demps. But what I'm worried about is, like, going into this draft, and obviously it's easier to look back on it, but going into this draft, it's like, okay, well, we have a lot of guards. We need some shooting. You know, we're going to have Zion. We need some shooting. And I wanted to draft Sadiq Bey, a small forward shooter, and we drafted Kyra. And like I said, it's, you know, Kyra's been okay this year.
Kyra's been good.
He's had his ups and downs, but man, Sadiq Bey.
Alexander Walker can shoot.
Yeah, but you look at what Sadiq Bey is doing now for Detroit. He's making threes. Like, that's the kind of guy we needed on this roster.
JJ didn't do it. You know, JJ was shooting fucking 20%
But JJ also wasn't a long term solution. Like, you draft a guy Bey,
He didn't even fill that role for us.
No,
but
he did.
If you got some outside shooting, just think how many more points Zion will score when we have the threat of outside shooting,
which we clearly do not at this point. Right. And that's a guy like, look, Kyra, I think, you know, I'm hoping he'll be good, but he's not a shooter. But Sadiq Bey was a shooter. We needed a shooter, and he was a small forward. We kind of needed that position as well. And he's lighting up. It's like, that's the kind of guy we wanted on this roster. And Griffin and Langdon just missed that opportunity. We had a chance. And that's what killed the Chris Paul era. Our drafts after drafting Chris Paul were god awful. And that hurt, because you need to get guys through the draft that can contribute.
Well, the night we got Zion was also the night we got Jackson Hayes. And I remember watching that draft and being, you know, very intrigued with what they were going to do with the pick after Zion. And
we had the fourth pick and we traded it for 8 and 17.
Right. And he is, I mean, dude, he's something else. I mean, of course we got Alexander Walker in the same draft too.
I mean, look, I will say this. Hayes's progression over the last 2 months has been incredible and something that we needed. Something that we needed. And Alexander, it really sucked that Alexander Walker got hurt too, because he was
my buddy and I were looking, look back at the trade where we sent AD to LA. Dude, we mauled them in that trade. They gave up so much just basically to get AD, what, a season early?
They did. They also got a championship, but they did get AD. But yeah, okay, right. They gave up a lot, but these draft picks, if they're 26 and 27 or 28 every year, it's not going to matter. We need a season where, like, LeBron gets hurt or Davis gets hurt and they miss the playoffs, and that's the year that we can get the pick.
I don't think the Lakers are going to make the finals this year.
I don't either, but they're still going to make the playoffs. But
they're going to make playoffs no matter what.
And I'm not really necessarily worried about this year for the Lakers, but in like 2 years, when LeBron's like 40, like at some point he's going to have that debilitating injury where he does something and he's out for the full season, and then Davis does something
he chose a running buddy in Davis. Like, Davis, come be part of this triumvirate with me. Right, let's go get big superstars here. He wanted a young. I mean, Davis is one of the most dominant young players in the league. I mean, you could make the argument age to potential to current dominance. I mean, the best player since that has been Zion, but it's like an AD. Yeah, AD's good, but AD also gets injured a lot. He's kind of he's kind of injury prone. Little knickknack and big injuries too. You know. And
hopefully that wasn't just the New Orleans curse, but yeah,
it's happening in LA.
I agree.
He ain't playing right now.
Well, here's the thing with Davis. Davis is the best second banana. Like, Davis is not LeBron's the A guy. Like, he went to LA because, like, oh, LeBron's the guy, and I'm there with him. Like,
right.
Davis can't ever be the number one when we need everything. Like, I'm willing this team to victory. Davis is never going to be that.
So out of that trade, we got Lonzo, we got Josh Hart, we got Brandon Ingram. That's two starters and a fifth man, rather. Then the picks and the picks.
I mean, we definitely got the best that we could from that trade, especially after we traded Paul and what we got for Paul.
Yeah, that trade was so bad. It's like, Is that the one where the league stepped in? Is like, yeah. No, this isn't even fair.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, we were supposed to trade him. We were supposed to trade him to the Lakers and get totally different players, which wouldn't have worked because these players wouldn't have wanted to play here, and we would have just traded them off.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when a 5-year-old is trading baseball cards with a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, and the 15-year-old like gets over on him because the 5-year-old doesn't know. That's the league had to like step in.
Dude, somebody traded me. This was back when I was in, at St. Joan of Arc Grammar School. So I had a Jose Canseco rated rookie, which at that point, you know, this is like a year or two later. Jose Canseco.
That's a Donruss card.
Yeah, yeah. Jose Canseco. It was his rated rookie card. It was either the rated rookie or it was the flea or something, but it was a rookie card. And Jose Canseco was like the best player in baseball at that point. He went 40-40. And then someone was like, hey, look, I had this Mickey Mantle, but like all the edges were super rubbed. It was all like shape, you know, just over time it was very worn. It wasn't a flat edge card. They were rounded edges on all four sides. I'm like, oh, a Mickey Mantle card, yeah, I'll take it. And at the time, you know, I definitely got worked over.
Yeah I was straight, like I had like friend, you know, neighborhood friends on the street that were like 5-6 years older than me, and we had to implement like a no, like there's gonna be a trade back rule. Like, well, you just gave up, you know, what for what? Like, oh, because one kid's fucking 13 and one's 7, you know.
Yep. And hey, look, Mickey Mantle. Like, yeah, Mickey Mantle's better than Jose Canseco.
Yeah. It can happen. Kids can get worked in them trades. Like I said, and the Pelicans got worked in that. Like I said, it was so bad. The league had to step in and go, ah, guys, you can't do this.
Yeah.
It's like you're in collusion.
And that was when, like, it was weird because, like, that was when, like, Shin was like, no, I'm getting out of here. I got to sell it. He was, like, Shin had no other – he was too poor. Shin had no other business. Yeah. He was the poorest. And that was – you know, that's what kind of screwed us. Like, dude, the fact that our players, when we had that Chris Paul era, they were fucking practicing at the Alario Center. Like, that's where they were practicing basketball. It's like, what? You know?
Dude, the other night we went Monday night of last week, went to the suite again. And we had a real good time and all. Leaving, the little usher guy, he comes, he's like, you can't leave yet. I'm like, oh, game's over. He's like, no, you can't leave yet. I'm like, what? They're like, you know, Secret Service type shit. Like, no, stand back, stay in your office. You know, stay in your suite. Don't head into the hallway. And it's, I'm thinking, is fucking Obama coming? Like, what's going on? You know, it was Miss Gale.
Oh, shit.
Dude, wow. She had like, yeah, she had an entourage and like of like cops and handlers and shit. It's like the fucking president's, dude. It's like the president's walking through the hallway. I
mean, she's the richest person in New Orleans.
It's like the president's walking through the hallway, dude. There's a team. They're like, so I was so stoned. I didn't care. I wouldn't like put up a fight. I was playing with the guys, like guessing. I was like, is it Obama? is it Ric Flair? You know, like who's coming? Who's about? And then I was like, oh, dummy, it's Miss Gale.
So she definitely took the over on her security guards,
bro. She had a team, and they were like, nope, like sorry, you can't. You have to stay in this room right now. You can't leave.
Nobody's getting in this pussy.
I'm like, is this even legal? I'm being detained by an usher,
right.
You know.
Why? Why? Preach to you all I want because you're stupid.
You're stupid.
Yeah, you're a towel.
You're a towel.
So, Jason, there is a show, and Guntu, I think you like baseball, on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it, The Battered Bastards of Baseball.
No.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Ooh.
Battered Bastards of Baseball. Yes. It's a true story about the Portland Mavericks, which was a independent baseball team in the 70s. And they were owned by Bing Russell, who was Kurt Russell's father.
Did Kurt Russell play for said team?
I haven't watched the whole thing. I don't think he played for them. He did play in the minors some, I think. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he played for them specifically. It was an independent team, so all of the independent teams at this time where this show starts, there was an independent league, and then they all joined up with the majors and started the farm system, double A, single A, triple A.
Okay. Okay.
So there were no independent teams in all of baseball, but Bing Russell bought this particular team because they were going to leave and ended up buying them and keeping them and made an, he had open tryouts. He said they had like 500 guys show up from all over the country. Like this one guy, like, you know, sold his house so he could travel to Portland to go try out for the team. Like,
holy shit,
all kind of crazy crap. So it's all these guys that are like these nobody guys who are just coming from wherever, and they end up forming this team and like kicking all the farm teams' asses all over the place because they didn't give a shit. They were like stealing bases left and right and doing all this, stealing home, all this crazy shit because they didn't care. They just wanted to win. And it's a good, from what I've seen of it so far, it's a really good show. You probably like it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued. Speaking of Kurt Russell, how about the job his son's been doing? Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Falcon Winter Soldier. Yeah, he's been doing it. Look, whenever you portray a character so well that everybody hates you, and it's supposed to be that way, you're doing a good job. You know,
it's crazy too. So I mean he was in 22 Jump Street. He played the quarterback, but I watched him on Lodge 49 for two seasons on AMC, and he was just this like.
Okay, so he was the guy on Lodge 49. I knew he looked familiar.
Yeah, he was the main guy.
He was like a hippie guy.
Yeah, he's just like a regular surfer stoner from California, and it's like. And it, like I love Lodge 49. I was so disappointed when it got canceled.
Yeah, I know you like that show.
It was quirky. It was fun, but he played it so well. And then to see him come, and it's like, oh shit! Well, he's like eight. Like he's kind of a skinny dude, and now he's going to play like the replacement Captain America. How's that going to work? But he's been, and it's, you know, it's easy to hate him. I mean, coming after Steve Rogers, we're designed to hate him. But he's done well, and when the series was announced and when they saw who was in it, I kind of thought he was going to die, but I don't believe he's going to die at all. I think after this series, we will see him again somewhere down.
Yeah. The line. He'll probably become US agent, and which from what I understand, he was kind of one of those good guys, but kind of bad, kind of, you know, kind of one of those.
He has a quick temper. Yeah. He has a quick temper. He's been bad. He's been good.
Yeah. So, I mean, he seems to be playing him like that, you know,
where he's doing an amazing job. He's doing, I mean, these last two episodes pulled me in. And I mean, I can't wait for the finale now, but I miss a lot of the subplot. But like, I figured out, yeah, we're talking about Kurt Russell's son plays the fake Captain, or the successor to Captain America. Dude, he's doing an exceptional job as an actor, and he's playing an anti-hero, you know, that wavers between heel and baby face, basically, with you know, in your true way you feel about him. Dude, it's so good. And I think he's going to continue to be around because Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character, like, she's now part of the Marvel universe.
And they're not that's, just going to be, yeah. And she's definitely
right.
Gonna stick
she's
around.
Not
yeah.
right. She's not just going to get wrapped up in next episode. You know,
right? Yeah, oh no, yeah, she'll be in the movie.
Yeah, like you're not bringing her in if this is it.
That's a cool. I mean, that's cool addition to the cinematic universe is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and then of course, you know, spoiler alert. I mean, she gives fake Captain America her card. You know, and hey, I represent a bunch of rich people and money, and we're going to use you. That's a fantastic. Like that was awesome. So that's definitely going to extend beyond just the next episode.
Yeah, and when especially now that he's got the serum in him, it's like, yeah, well, now you have you have a super soldier. Like, you're not going to kill him off.
Right.
I mean, A, it's hard to kill him off, but B, like, you're definitely not going to – you just created a new super soldier, and you gave him a backstory already, so you could just put him aside, and then when you need him, people already have the attachment. I mean, that's what Marvel does, you know? Like, you get that attachment – sometimes they bring them right away. Sometimes they put them aside. But when they come back, you instantly have that connection.
You know, they're not hedging on character development. They're not giving short service to character development across all of the stuff they've been doing lately.
And it's just amazing how it all just ties in and intertwines with each other. It's just the way they do it is just unreal, unlike really anything we've seen before. And I definitely think, I think that he is going to, I think he's going to go away for a little while and then pop back up either in a movie or in his own series or something, you know, where you're kind of like, because I mean, they could do a whole series with him easily.
Well, that's the beauty of these Disney Plus series now. It's like you can bring somebody in the series, and then they'll just show up in a movie, and it's like, right. Well, yeah, you already know who they are, and you've gotten more time with these characters now. I mean, even you know, Sam and Bucky, we've seen more from these two guys in this series than we've seen in the entirety that we've seen them before, because they're just
right.
You know, I mean, look, they weren't the main character; they were sidekicks. They came on, they had some fun, but now that you have this time, I mean, that's it. You have time to develop the characters, and then you can just siphon them on in into the movies, and it's we thought that the movies couldn't be any better, and now that they have this, not really a feeder system, but it's this extra connective tissue, you know, it makes it so much easier for the movies to succeed.
It kind of did that with Agatha too, from Vision, WandaVision. I mean, she's the same type of character where she could pop up at any time. You just don't know. And it almost pisses me off. It almost feels like they wasted Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they would have fit in so well with the way they're doing it now.
I'm still hoping some characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to show up.
Yeah, that would be just awesome.
You know,
or have Coulson show up somewhere.
Even if you do Fitzsimmons or even Quake, you know, somebody like that, or hell, even like Ghost Rider, the Ghost Rider that was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was great.
Was good. And then now Emilia Clarke's joined the Secret Invasion.
I mean, that's the look. I mean, look, if you could bring in Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Marvel can get whoever they want. That's the craziness of how good it's been, that they can just they are the power brokers who we still haven't seen yet. I really don't want it to be Sharon.
I think it's too obvious.
Although I also feel like the power broker's been wasted. Like if we don't find out who it is until season six, then episode six, then what's the like who? Okay, the power broker is some guy. Like who
same
cares?
Kind of thing. They could bring it into another TV show or another movie.
Why do I feel like I've missed the entire power broker subplot? Can y'all explain that to me?
The power broker created the serum.
Yeah. Okay.
So the leader of the Flag Smashers, she stole the vials of serum from the power broker.
That's the red haired girl.
Right. So during the series, she's gotten texts from the power broker saying, I'm going to get you. You stole my vials of serum or whatever. But it hasn't been. So it's kind of like, and then Sharon mentioned like, oh, the power broker controls everything in Madripoor. It's like, well, okay.
And but Sharon is?
Sharon Carter, Agent Carter, Peggy's niece, the blonde.
Oh, yeah. Peggy's niece, the blonde. Okay.
You know,
so I've heard that, you know, obviously it's there's all kind of speculation. I mean, it could be Sharon, it could be Julie Louis-Dreyfus's character, it could be somebody we haven't seen before. I've heard what's the guy's name, Ross, you know what I'm talking about, Thunderbolt.
Oh,
Ross,
yeah Thunderbolt, because
I've heard his name tossed around.
I know who it's gonna be. It's gonna be Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. Fucking blow.
No, it's gonna be Mark Hamill as the Joker sneaking over from DC to Marvel.
Yes.
He did play a kick-ass. I mean, the Joker in the Batman animated series. Yeah.
Oh yeah, his voice work has been fantastic. Yeah.
He was good.
But so yeah, that's been the one part that's really been underdeveloped. The whole power broker, Sharon. Like Sharon came in episode three, and it's been kind of like whatever. But I gotta say, I definitely, and I'm sure y'all did too, I got a kick out of when they were back home in Delacroix and working on the boat, and the Mardi Gras music came on.
Hey, Pocky Way.
Right? Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, man, it's
fantastic little musical montage.
Oh, so
good. You know, that was a good class. I mean, these last two episodes have felt like a really well done big budget Avengers movie.
Yeah. Do you feel like the whole thing with the sister and the boat, like, I don't know, they need to tie it in or something, because it just feels like it was just filler.
Is character development.
It's character development. Yes. Yeah. Bucky's flirting with the sister, and he's
like, that was funny.
Something that's interesting, I guess, you know, when Bucky mentioned, oh yeah, I'm right-handed. So he's got his left arm, which is the great arm, but it's his opposite arm. He's really right-handed. Like, yeah, you get this fantastic arm to use as a weapon, but it's your offhand.
When's the last time you think Bucky got laid?
Ooh. They definitely didn't let him get laid as the Winter Soldier.
Right.
So do you think if he jerks off with his left hand, it's like having somebody else do it for him?
Dude, he could really hurt himself.
Right? Yeah, he's definitely not doing it with his left hand. He could pull it right off.
Yeah.
So I think the last time Bucky got laid was when he pulled the tricks with Steve back in the 40s when they went to the Stark Expo and he brought along the two girls.
Okay.
I think that's the last night Bucky got laid, because after that he got shipped off. And then he was in the war, and then he
vanished.
You know, fell and got experimented with on Hydra, and he was the Winter Soldier. He's never had time. So
he'd probably be a lot happier.
He definitely needs to get laid. When he went on the date with the girl in episode two?
Yeah,
or one?
That Asian girl.
Yeah.
Did he fuck her?
At this point, probably.
He left. He went and saw the old man.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to see that crop up in the next episode. He's going to go tell the old man that
he
killed his kid.
Probably at the end or something. You know, at this point, you almost think it's just going to shoot out his powder.
Oh, no. I mean.
He's a super soldier.
I mean, look, he's
yeah,
look,
that too.
Okay, look, no, he's definitely jerked off. Okay, he's definitely 100% he's jerked off
with his right hand.
Right, clearly with his right hand. But clearly. So it's not like he hasn't, you know, he just hasn't done it with somebody else.
Fair enough. Steve went and lived his life with Agent Carter. If they had kids, would the kids get the super serum, whatever?
How would he not? This goes back to a Kevin Smith joke. How would he not blow a load right through her back?
Yeah, I mean, it's right,
but he's got super serum, super semen.
Yeah,
he's got the super semen.
Would it carry over to a kid? Does he have a kid somewhere that? You know,
Maybe he said, "Hey, I don't want to have a kid because I don't want another." Because he knows that he would have the same
artificial insemination.
I don't know if they had that back then.
Well, dude, they have super serum. Okay, in this universe, they have artificial insemination. They have wizards and green aliens.
They have super semen. We're talking about
artificial insemination.
But they're engaged.
Doesn't matter. It can't happen.
Why not? It's bound to come up.
It's impossible. Lois could never have Superman's baby. Do you think her fallopian tubes could handle his sperm? I guarantee he blows a load like a shotgun right through her back. What about her wound? Do you think it's strong enough to carry his child?
Sure, why not?
He's an alien, for Christ's sake. His Kryptonian biological makeup is enhanced by Earth's yellow sun. If Lois gets a tan, the kid could kick right through her stomach. Only someone like Wonder Woman has a strong enough uterus to carry his kid. The only way he could bang regular chicks is with a kryptonite condom. That would kill him.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's why it's a random show. You know, this is what we're talking about. No, this is great. This is great, you know? There's no fucking Saints news to talk about. I mean, Sean Payton commented at the Zurich, said, oh, we need cornerbacks. Well, yeah, we kind of knew
shit.
That. So yeah, so seriously, the picture that I sent with Taysom, like Adam is 6'2", like 220. Like Adam's big, and he looks small compared to Taysom.
Yeah,
right.
Taysom definitely shaves his legs though. Like,
I mean, okay, who cares? Sure.
Yeah. Good. Sure.
Go ahead.
What?
Shave away
your legs.
Shape goal. He's a football player because he's got the
because he's in the best shape football of his life. He wants to show it off.
I mean, it,
I guess.
Look, he's got to tape his. You know, he don't want to pull the hair off his legs all the time. He untapes. Unshaved. Who cares? Who cares about shaved legs? We ain't in eighth grade anymore.
I saw today where Taysom has been working exclusively at quarterback. And not training for any other positions, right, according to Taysom.
He doesn't need to work at everything else. He's too good.
At fumbling.
Hey. Yeah. That's what he needs to work on.
Protecting. I mean, I'll be like, to me, that's what he has to work on, fumbling. Because Jameis is our quarterback. He might be the backup. He ain't a quarterback. Jameis is our quarterback. Taysom needs, especially with all the other guys that we've kind of lost, we need Taysom to be not a quarterback.
Is Trevor Siemian still on the roster, technically?
I have no idea.
As our number three.
As our number three, right?
I say he is.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
So I think I sent y'all, CD Deuce was kind of tweeting a lot today that this next year is going to be his best year because he called it his bag year, and he had a bag of money next to it, saying that after next season he promises he's going to be the highest paid cornerback in the league. So look for him to step it up this year.
Yep. I think he's going to
step it up this year.
Oh, he's going to be awesome this year.
Okay, but we also have him still under contract for the following year. So does that mean he's going to hold out?
I don't know.
No, they always rework those deals with a year sitting on them so you can spread the money out better.
Yeah, but I don't know. With young guys like this, I mean, look, if he's as good as he says he is, then maybe I could see it. But the Saints have been known to wait to the last minute and then we'll give him deals.
Thinks he is.
You know, like we're not going to extend them early. That's not what the Saints do. We're going to keep him next year for $400,000, and he's going to be pissed off. He's going to want to hold out. Apparently, he seems like the guy that's actually going to hold out.
Yeah, I can see him doing that. I still want him just mic'd up on a field, though.
Okay.
Just for one game.
I do, too. I mean, that's fine.
I'd pay to hear it.
I mean, I hope to God he's as good as he thinks he is, because that will be good things for the defense, because we're going to need, you know, one thing Peyton mentioned today, the need for cornerback. You know, we knew that. You know, we're going to need to draft a cornerback. If CD Deuce is this awesome nickel guy, then fuck yeah. Man, agreed. Saints, yeah. But, I mean, other than that, yeah, we signed Clapp. I mean, there's no – this has been
– They signed some other guy, center, from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they signed a center. They signed the son of J.J. McCleskey, guy who played at Tulane.
I remember J.J. McCleskey. Yeah.
No.
What's the guy's name? Hold on, I'm trying to find it.
Junior McCleskey. Oh, yeah, the center, yeah. I don't know. So, do you think they might draft
Christian Montano, formerly of the Steelers, to a one-year contract?
Feel like they're going defense in the draft.
I do too. I think they go defense, and I think they go. I mean, God, I feel like we definitely need a receiver, but then I feel like we need offensive line too.
Well, I was reading; they said that this year's really deep in cornerback and receiver, which is good. So, I'd love for them to get in the second round that linebacker from LSU.
Cox, yeah. I'd love to get Jabril Cox.
Cox, yeah.
Could That'd use it. Nice. But again, we don't draft LSU players, so.
No, we don't.
But at least, you know, thank God that we have the two comp picks in the third round, because I think that's when we, you know, I definitely think we take an offensive lineman with one of those two.
You don't think we use that to trade up maybe in the first one of those picks at least?
I mean, we do kind of trade up, but fuck.
There's
not going to be anybody worth it.
There's a gap. There's a talent. There's like a floodplain of talent between.
We didn't think two firsts was worth it either, but they did it.
Right, but like trading up to the first takes a lot. Trading up into the second or early third, that's not as, you know, you don't have to give up nearly as much. So I would think more we'll trade up in the second or the third round, but not the first round.
We'll see. I mean, if there's a player there that they want that thinks not going to be there, don't pull the trigger on it quick.
Right, but again, I think
there's
talked about
a lot of teams right now that are looking to trade down.
Oh, yeah, but Are we without Drew Brees? Man, we talked about this. The Saints' operation was, oh, we have Drew Brees. Let's go get our guy. Who cares? Now that without Drew Brees, do we not do that anymore? Do we actually like say, oh no, we'll stay here and draft such and such?
Yeah,
that's gonna be the big question. I'm intrigued to see how the draft unfolds. Yeah,
it'll be.
I'm very intrigued to see how the draft unfolds. Fuck mock drafts, but I'm getting ready for the actual draft.
I'm fascinated with Atlanta's pick at number 4.
I mean, it's going to be Kyle Pitts, right? I mean, I think that's what they do.
As someone who hates the Falcons and wants to see them do poorly, I will be upset if they draft Kyle Pitts because I think that's the best pick for them.
I have to think they go quarterback.
Nope, they don't want to yet.
They can't get rid of Matt Ryan for like 2 years.
Let's think about it like this. You can either
then you develop a guy for 2 years. I mean, it's not like they did it with Rodgers. They've done it with, you know, tons of other people. Let the guy sit for two years and develop.
Look at it like this. They can get the third or fourth best quarterback in this draft, or they can get the best tight end in the last 10 years.
They still have
Matt Ryan, and the owner backs Matt Ryan.
But I mean, and also think about it. Like, I mean, who do you think, you know, if you're looking at the Falcons would get the fourth best quarterback, is that guy worth it? Like, if, you know, obviously Lawrence and Wilson and let's say the 49ers actually take Fields like they should. And then you're looking at Mac Jones and Trey Lance. I ain't taking them at 4. I'm going to take Pitts.
But you say that, but look at where Mahomes was when he was drafted, when we were going to draft him. He was probably the third or fourth best quarterback that year that came out of college. And look where he's at. Think about that. Think about if we would have been able to draft him 2-3 years ago, where we'd be sitting right now.
Okay.
Nobody
but also
knows.
Right. I know, but I also think that, like, if that's the case, the Falcons could trade back. If they want a quarterback, they can trade back. If they were smart, they'd take Pitts. Like Gunn said, I hope they don't. Because I don't want to have to go against Pitts for the next fucking decade. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. It's a fascinating pick.
We did fine against Tony Gonzalez.
Did we, though? But he was also at the tail end of his career. He wasn't at peak. Like, right, I don't want to see the peak of Kyle Pitts against the Saints twice a year. I don't. Fuck that.
He might be calm by then.
He's not. It's not the way. In the NFL, if you get a good player like this, he ain't going anywhere. Like, kind of like we talked about earlier. It's easy to stay in different spots in the NFL. It's not like the NBA. Yeah. Like, where are you going to go? To the Rams? Okay, good. Whatever. Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what everybody does.
Look, I can 100% say I'm excited for next week in the draft. Because I haven't been thinking about
wait.
The NFL
I'm excited.
For a while, you know? Yeah,
yeah
I haven't
know.
Been thinking
it's
about
real the NFL. NFL shit.
I've been just kind of like, out. Like, nothing. Especially knowing the Saints weren't going to sign any big free agents.
Well, there's some fun prop bets on the draft too.
And oh, really?
Yeah, and they released the win total bets for next year too, and it's fascinating because this is going to be the first season of 17 games.
Oh yeah! Wow.
So
I didn't think about that.
You know, you can take all your old trends and shit like that, throw it out the fucking window. You know, because this is a different game total and all you're picking is the fucking total. It'd be like if they added a fifth quarter and said, hey, go figure out the over under. You know what I mean? So it's going to be fun. Those are, you know, I love those win total bets because you can go like, you know, I want to jump all over somebody like the Colts that they just, I think they were really, really dumb this offseason in getting Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. You know, and so whatever their total is, dude, I'm going under on the Colts.
I like that idea.
Look, yeah, there's a couple of them out there. The Rams number's pretty high, but I'm like, dude, I could see the Rams dominating this year. 49ers number is inflated. I think you take the under on the 49ers. I mean,
they're going to have a rookie quarterback, right? They're not going to go with
exactly. And probably, I mean, do the 49ers take Mac Jones?
That would be hilarious.
I mean, are you fucking kidding me? Is that what's going to happen?
And trading what they had to trade to get up to number 3 to do that.
To take Mac Jones? Oh, my God.
That'd be so hilarious.
I heard his stock is kind of dropping more so because of, I don't remember, something political
he did
or something.
He's not, I mean, shoot. If Tua isn't good, you think fucking Matt Jones is going to be?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, come on now. You saw Tua struggle with the speed of the NFL, with all of that complexity, and not having just being eons above every bit of competition you come up against, except for one or two games a year. I mean, that's hell on a quarterback.
Well, and that's, think about it. Like, all this is the reason why it doesn't give you two shits to, like, why do you care about mock drafts? Because everybody's like, oh, here's what's coming out. And when the draft happens, it never comes to pass because teams aren't going to tell you what they're thinking. And they're going to spit out, they're going to spit out so much false shit. And, you know, some expert who works for ESPN, he's not working for a team. Like, these guys think totally differently, even though, you know, oh, well, I've got experience. I worked for this team for 20 years. Well, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, teams have their methods, and you know, you don't know what teams are thinking. Nobody knows what other teams are thinking. That's why the draft, all other than, you know, maybe a handful of the top picks where it's like, well, this guy's clearly this, everything is so different. All these mock drafts mean nothing. Guys are going to get drafted however teams think. You've still got to deal with GMs like Ryan Pace out there who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. You know, there's all this uncertainty. To think you can predict anything with a mock draft, get the fuck out of here.
I like the ones that do the trades. Those are the funniest.
Right? I mean, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. The Patriots are going to trade up to number 5 and take the quarterback that wasn't drafted earlier because I didn't predict him to be drafted earlier, so now he's available. So sure, the Patriots will trade up. Like,
it's fan fiction. It's fucking fan fiction. I hate mock drafts.
It's fucking Fabio romance novels for sports fans. Oh.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Mock drafts. So is that it? Do we need to get official close? We didn't get an official open.
Oh, that's it. Good night, Houdat Nation.
Oh, shit. There you go.
Good night. See you later.
Happy 420, everybody.
go smoke a bowl. Kingdom coming through.